And we are delighted to see you present here in the service. I have talked about the husband's place in the home and the wife's place in the home, and you can guess what's coming this morning, the children's place. So all of you parents can kind of sit back this morning and relax a little bit, though I might get you in directly sometime. Don't get too comfortable, because children are something. I think I know why one of the qualifications of a bishop is that he have a wife and children. And that is probably so he might better understand the problems of his church members, if for no other reason. And I've often thought of that when I read those qualifications over there. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 11. It is a very simple verse. One that I recall from my early childhood. I often meditated on the thought and wondered if I could do everything maybe that ought to be done there. Proverbs 20 and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Two very simple things there. Children are known by the works, whether they be good or bad. I think perhaps the most wonderful creatures that God ever made are children. They can be lovable and laughable, thoughtful and thoughtless, comforting and cruel all at the same time. And I don't know much more to say than that, because that pretty well said it all. I sometimes almost get a little chuckle out reading all of these books the psychiatrists write on how to raise children, because most of the time children always overthrow all these good ideas they lay down in these books. And a lot of people get the idea after they read these books on child care that either the man didn't know anything about his subject or he sure did not cover it very well. And that's probably because that's the way it is, generally speaking, today. In our day and time, many children are conceived in lust and born into this world unwanted. And they're left almost every place you can think of, from churches to commodes. They are unwanted and they're left by their mothers and sometimes by their fathers. Many of them are neglected and forgotten, because they're in the way of worldly pleasure. Youthful crimes and juvenile delinquency is at an all-time high. Jails are full today of youthful offenders. And some of them are murderers of their classmates and schoolteachers. Something that was unthinkable in the time that I was growing up as a young boy. I do not believe that the policeman's club and the jailer's cell will completely do away with juvenile delinquency. I do not believe that 9 o'clock curfew laws or reform schools will do away with juvenile delinquency. Church-sponsored ball games and parties will never be the solution to the problem of which I speak. And I would like to say something here at this point. Quite often today I have people ask me, and even call me on the phone sometime, and they begin to ask about our church here and other things that we have, and they say, we want to know if your church has anything for the young people. That gets to be quite a question that's asked. And I always tell them that we have the same thing for the young people that we do the old people. We have prayer, praise, Bible study, and the like for old and young. And I would like to point out something this morning. Strictly speaking, the church does not have any children. Strictly speaking, the state does not have any children. It is mothers and fathers that have children. Now, they might be helped by the church and the state, but it is mothers and fathers that have children. And it is mothers and fathers that are to take care of their children. And I think that the world somehow has missed that. And it needs to be stated over again. What are children according to the Bible? Well, I gave you my definition of them at the beginning. I'm going to try now to give you some definitions out of the Bible. One of the very first things that you note as you begin to study the book of Genesis is that children are set forth as a gift of God. The very first woman that had a baby realized that. Her name was Eve. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." So she realized there that her son was a gift of God. Then over in the book of Genesis again, in chapter 33, you remember the story about Jacob and Esau. But in chapter 33 and verse 5, you remember that Jacob and Esau had a meeting. And old brother Esau asked Jacob a question during the time of that meeting. You see that in verse 5 of Genesis 33. "And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children," that is, the wives and family of Jacob, "and said, Who are these with thee?" Now here comes the reply of Jacob. "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." So every boy or girl that we have in our household are really gifts from God. You can find it still in another place in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, in verse 3. "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac." God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac. In fact, his birth was what we term by modern standards a miracle. And it set forth the birth of Christ that was indeed a miracle. So they are gifts from God. They should always be a blessing to their parents. Whether they are or not is a matter that we parents may sometimes consider. But God intended that they be to us a blessing. Over in the book of Psalms 127, verse 3, 4, and 5, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Probably would say in modern English, an inheritance from the Lord. "And the fruit of the womb is his reward." That verse says that children are an inheritance and a reward from God. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." If you don't understand the last part of that verse, it simply means that children are to take care of their aged parents and see that no harm comes to them. And so if you don't have any children, when you get old, you won't have that protection, which God intended according to that verse in verse 5 there of the Bible. I believe that they are not only a blessing to their parents, but, and as I get older, I realize this more all the time, they're a blessing to their grandparents, too. I believe that there's nothing that gives more joy to grandma and grandpa than little children. Say, how do you know? Well, I am a grandpa, and I live with a grandma. So we ought to know what we're talking about when we say that. The Bible says as much in Proverbs 17 and 6, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." So then, children are not only a blessing to their parents, they're also a blessing to their grandparents. Now, one of the terrible tragedies of this day and time is the slaughter of unborn children by doctors who serve as hired guns and mamas who pay the fee, or the government in some case pays the fee. But the Bible makes it very plain that God takes special care of little children. So I'd venture to say that anybody that destroys an unborn babe or does harm to a small infant or to any boy or girl is going to answer not only to the law of the land, but to God. There will be payday someday. Now, why do I say that? The Bible tells me as much. Psalms chapter 27, verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. So God is more concerned about little children than even their mothers and their fathers. That's what the Bible says. And then a lot of times a fellow will worry about his children after he's gone. And I guess all of us, in a manner of speaking, will, more or less, one way or the other. We wonder how it's going to be with them. But you know, God has promised to take care of a man's wife and his children after he dies. Or if he's incapacitated, I'm sure the same would apply. Jeremiah 49:11 was a great blessing to John Bunyan, the Baptist preacher who spent 12 years in jail and could not feed his family. Here was a text that gave him consolation. The Lord says, "Leave thy fatherless children, and I will preserve them alive. And let thy widows trust in me." So God has said that He will take care of little children. He will care for orphans. He will care for widows. And God has said it, and I believe that it's so. Now, all the time that I was growing up, I always understood, beyond any reasonable doubt, that little children belong to their father and their mother. But the last 10 or 15 years, I'm hearing something else. And I don't like one word that I hear about it either. And that is that the children now belong to the state. Well, that's what Dr. Karl Marx said ought to be so in his Communist Manifesto that we read some time back. Even our president's wife has written a book that says it takes a village to raise a kid. Well, the state would even go far enough as to tell us how many babies we can have. Over in China, if you have more than the allotted quota, then you'll go to jail and the baby will be killed. And there are social planners here in this country that have some of the very same things in mind for us in the next few years. A lot of parents ask me questions sometimes on this order, said, "Well, what about birth control?" It shocks a lot of people when I tell them that the Bible teaches birth control. One fellow one time almost came right up out of his seat. I thought he was going to have a heart attack. I told him, I said, "Have you never read the Bible?" Well, I think it's up to the parents to decide how many children they'll have and not the state. That's what I'm saying. But there are laws about birth control in the Bible. You say, "Well, I didn't know this in there." Well, I'm going to tell you where they are. I'm not going into them or read them. But in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 to 8, you'll find one of the most detailed accounts. If a woman had a baby boy, her husband was to stir clear of her for 40 days. And if a girl was born, it was 80 days. Then there are other laws regarding birth control. Later in that same book of Leviticus, and it tells about how that a man is to stay away from his wife during her menstrual period. And you'll find that also in the Bible. In chapter 18 of that same book, verse 19, chapter 20 and verse 18, and other places in the Bible, you'll find that. So I don't say that the Bible condemns all birth control. But I do believe that it is the business of the parents and not the state to decide how many or how few children they may want to have. The main thing that I want to stress this morning is that God is going to hold mothers and fathers responsible for their children. We have an obligation to teach them the things of the Lord, to train them and bring them up in the way that God would have them to be brought up. Well, I have had questions asked me like this sometimes. Said, "Well, preacher, we brought up our boy, our girl, right, and it turned out bad." You say, well, I never heard that. I've heard that more times than I can count. I almost get weary of hearing it. I've had preachers to tell me that, as well as church members. There is nothing in the Bible that says because a mother and a father are Christians that all of their children will be the same. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, take a few examples in the Bible. Would you say that the first two children of Adam and Eve turned out exactly like their mother and father? I don't know that Adam and Eve ever killed anybody, but one of their boys did. You ever thought about that? Well, let's take a few other examples. Take good King Hezekiah in Judah. Probably one of the best kings they ever had. Yet he had a son named Manasseh that was one of the worst kings that they ever had, that immediately followed him. You can look at Solomon and all of his ability. Yet his son was a great disappointment to the Israelites. It didn't turn out like they thought. Well, I could go on. Really, a child is responsible for his own conduct. And sometimes today I hear people trying to put a guilt trip on the parents because maybe a boy or a girl turns out bad. We got to remember they're totally depraved sinners. And so they may turn out good or bad owing to whether they listen to what their parents tell them or obey God and all of this. So a child will bear his own iniquity and the father will not bear it, according to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. And verse 20. Now we do, as Christian parents, have some hope that our children might be among the number of God's elect. There are many scriptures in the Bible that speaks of that. One good verse that helps me to have courage sometimes is Genesis 7 and 1. Because I note that Noah and his entire household were all saved and they all went into the ark. And Genesis 7 and 1 will pretty well tell you that. I think also of Acts 2:39, where the Lord said, this promise is to you and to your children. And there are much indications in the Bible sometimes that election runs in a straight line, like over there in the second epistle of John, the elect lady and her children. It's not always true, but there is some hope to be gleaned from that. Now let's get into this business of the children and what they are to do, first of all, concerning their parents. That is one of the very important things that the Bible speaks of. And one of the very first duties laid down in the Bible is that parents are to be honored by their children. As a matter of fact, it's one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12, and incidentally it's quoted in Ephesians 6 and 2 of the New Testament. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So here is a command for children to honor their father and their mother. And that command is joined to a promise of longevity of life if they do what God tells them to do. That's why when Paul quoted it in Ephesians 6 and 2, he said it is the first commandment with promise. And the promise is longevity of life if you obey your parents. One of the things that I believe is that children should always speak respectfully of their parents. You say, well, I don't always agree with what they do. Well, I don't suppose any kid does. But it doesn't change the fact that you ought to speak respectfully of them. Because how can you honor them if you don't speak respectfully of them? Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. You see, things were a little different under the Levitical code. If you were a rebellious or disobedient child, and you didn't respect your father and your mother, they took you out and stoned you to death. I don't guess they had a lot of juvenile delinquency under that program. You say, well, that's not the way it is now. We live under grace. That's true. But the idea of what God thinks about a disobedient child is seen in that. God made that law. So that's pretty strong language. You say, well, that's exactly what the Bible says. I believe that oftentimes children do not honor their parents as they should. There are two good examples in the Bible of people that did otherwise. I mean, they honored their parents. Do you remember how that Joseph got to be kind of a big politician down in Egypt? Matter of fact, he's just about next to the Pharaoh, if I remember. Well, when he found out that his father wasn't too far off, what did he do? Well, the record's there in Genesis 46 and 29. It's very, very good record, too, and I want to read it because it's so important to me as I think about what's being said here in verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went out to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. He didn't wait for his father to come down to the throne of Egypt. He went out to meet him himself, though he was second in power to the great Pharaoh of Egypt. Now that's what it means when it says, show honor to your parents. All right, you want another example right out of the Bible. Go over to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 2, verse 19. And this is said concerning King Solomon and his mother, who was Bathsheba, incidentally. In verse 19, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her. Ordinarily now you stand up before the king, but look here what's happened. King standing up and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. So he showed honor to his mother. So here we have two examples right out of the Bible showing us how that parents should be shown honor and respect. The Bible even goes far enough to say that they ought to be feared and respected. Over in the book of Leviticus again, and we're going to look at a lot of scripture today because the Bible is not in any way unclear on these subjects. In the 19th chapter of Leviticus, verse 3, we read these words. Ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. You say, well, now what is it to show respect for your parents? Well, it's to listen to their reproofs and corrections. To take their instructions instead of disregarding them. To put it very simple. There are many, many scriptures that I could read this morning from Proverbs and Deuteronomy and the like that shows the great evil of people showing disrespect for their parents and what God thinks about it. But here also in this 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, in verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. So there is to be respect shown not only for mother and father, but grandfather and grandmother, and any old man or any old woman that you come in contact with. And I think one of the bad marks of our generation is that somehow we have teenage hoodlums that believe old people are targets of abuse. That is the mark of a great moral and spiritual decline in America, in my estimation. The Bible condemns disrespect for old people in Isaiah 3 and 5. And their language there is very, very strong. I believe also that children should love their mother and their father. Now, we know from the Bible that we are not to love mother and father more than God. Jesus taught that very plainly there in Matthew 10:37, said, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. So we're not to love them more than God. But after our love for God, then the love for father and mother should come next, according to what the Scriptures tell us there. And then the Bible says that children are to obey their parents. Number of Scriptures on this. Over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's verse 2. But then back up in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Sometimes boys and girls ask me, well, what's right? I can tell you one thing's right, to obey your parents. The Bible said that's right. You don't have to argue about it. It's not an option, it's a command. Here, look at it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I had one young fellow to come to me one time years ago, and he said, well, preacher said, I don't have to obey my mom and daddy. He said, they ain't saved. Sound real good, didn't it? He didn't understand what that in the Lord means there. He had the idea that his mother and father both had to be saved, and if they weren't, he could just disobey them anytime he wanted to. That's not what that verse means. If anybody here has got that idea, let me burst your bubble this morning. That means that God in His Word has said that honor must be shown to mother and father. They must be obeyed. It's in the Lord's form of government for the home. That's what that means. It is His form of government. And nothing can change that. And so it does not anywhere say that if you don't have a mother and father saved, you can just treat them any way you want to. No, 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 it doesn't say that. It just said obey your parents in God's form of government for the home. That's what it really says there. Then later over here in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So if you want to do things that are well-pleasing to the Lord, then the Bible gives a very clear answer. You can do what your parents tell you to do. That in the Lord, I stress again, means that's God's form of government for the home. That's in the Lord's rules and regulations is what it really means. You say, well, what if they tell you to do things that are contrary to the will of God? Well, always we must obey God rather than men. God's obedience to God always comes first. And if they tell you to do something that is contrary to God, then of course you wouldn't be obligated to do that. But in every other thing, you are to obey them. You say, well, what about some things? The Bible didn't say anything about me having to go out, you know, mow the grass. Didn't say anything about me having to clean up my room, you know. Am I talking over your heads this morning, or you know what I'm talking about? Well, I hear little things like that. But you know, the Bible makes it plain that even though the Bible does not give a detailed account of all things that children maybe ought to do, that whatever their parents tell them to do that's not contrary to the law of God, they are to do it. And give you a good example of it. It was the Rechabites in the Old Testament. Jeremiah set pots full of wine and cups, and he told them, said, drink wine. I'm in the 35th chapter of Jeremiah. And they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Did they obey their parent? Neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us. To drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyards, nor fields, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Said, well, what did the Lord think about people that obey their parents even after they got married and things like that? Well, I'll let you decide. Read verse 18 and 19. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. So what does that last statement mean? That means somewhere in the world the Rechabites still live. God said so. He said so. He said, well, I don't know where they are. I don't either, but they're here, he said, forever. He meant what he said. So if you want your family to endure, then obedience to parents would be a very good way to do it, according to what the Bible says right here. And then there is always this rebellion against parents. Today there is really rebellion against all forms of authority. Authority of the states in question. The authority of the homes in question. The authority of the schools in question. The authority of the parents is in question. I mean, everything's in question. And we have what I would term a rebellious generation in the main. And one of the signs of the end of the age, according to 2 Timothy 3 and 2, is disobedient to parents. So don't be a part of the kingdom of Antichrist, because that's a part of the kingdom of Antichrist, to be in rebellion to your parents. And then I believe that mother and father should be cared for in their old age. The Bible warns in the book of Proverbs about despising your mother when she's old. I think about Joseph, who took care not only of his father, but also all of his brothers during that 7 year of famine, according to Genesis 47 and verse 12. Ruth went out in the field and gleaned for Naomi, her mother-in-law. She wasn't even a natural daughter. I mean, she was only a married daughter, we might call her. But she went out in the field of Boaz and gleaned some of the wheat that her mother-in-law and her might have food to eat. Well, was there any reward for a woman that would do that? Well, I think there probably was a pretty good reward from what I read in the Bible. She was to have a son. Incidentally, her son would be a nourisher of her in her old age. And that was one of the things said there in the book of Ruth in verse 15. And that son also would be in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. And it shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So it was said by prophecy that Naomi would be blessed by having this daughter-in-law that was Ruth, and then Ruth would have a son who would care for her in her old age. And I think one of the tragedies of a lot of older people is that they don't have children to take care of them when they get old. I asked you something this morning. How are you going to get to town, and how are you going to go to the doctor when you get where you can't drive anymore? Well, you better think about that and realize that your children, they are worth something after all, you know, and they do have a work to do. You can take David, who was a king of Israel. Saul had put him in exile. As a matter of fact, he was hunting him to kill him. He meant to get rid of him. He didn't like him. He thought he was a rival. But during all of that time, according to 1 Samuel 22, verse 3 and 4, David fixed it up so that his mother and father could dwell with the king of Moab until circumstance was better with him. In other words, he took care of them in their old age, even though he was in exile from his country. I would say that greatly may shame many that live today. I detest, as much as any man can, the media today and what they're trying to do to the family. If you watch any of the modern day programs, they make it appear that all the parents are tyrannical, that they're out of touch with today's life, that they don't have any understanding of children, and that they're dedicated to the job of keeping the kids from having a good time. There's one thing with all of that, most every word about it is all a lie. It is just simply not so. So, well, it might be in some cases. Yes, it might be. But generally speaking, parents will tell their children things for their own good. And that law that God has laid down in the Bible about showing honor to your parents, it's a very lasting law, incidentally. I realize when a boy or girl gets married, they got a house of their own. They got to run their own household. I'm not saying that you don't do that. But I don't know that you ought to ever get to the place that you couldn't listen to the advice of your mother and father. If you get so old you can't do that, I'd say you probably got too old too soon. That'd be my statement on that. Well, I've talked about the responsibility that they have to their parents. I want to talk about now the duties that the children have to God. These are far more important than even the ones that I have been discussing here. First of all, a child is to keep to the ways of God. The Bible says so. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, in verse 32, we find this scripture. Now therefore hearken unto me, ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. So then, young people are to keep to the ways of God. It didn't say the ways of the world. Didn't say the ways of Hollywood. Didn't say the ways of the beatnik generation. It said the ways of God. There's a great difference in the two. There also are many sins that the Bible warns against. In 2 Timothy 2 and 22, it says, flee youthful lust. So what are these, preacher? I'll give you a little rundown on them. Lying, cursing, fornication, taking drugs. I could go on. There's a long list that young people need to flee away from. One of the great tragedies is in this generation that many young people, while very young, make some tragic mistakes that they pay for until the day they're put in the ground. Are you listening, young boys and girls? You better be. It's very, very serious thing to make tragic mistakes in your early years that you have to pay the bill on the rest of your days. I have known some boys and girls that got involved in crime, robbed banks, and went to jail for about 30 years. They had a lot of time to think about what they'd done, didn't they? Some of them were going to have a good time, and they were going to live it up and be in a fast car and get drunk, have a big time. Some of them in my generation tried that, and two of them buried down the road here. They never got out of high school. They bury young boys and girls all the time. I read the obituaries in the paper. You better flee some of these youthful lusts. They can be a terrible, terrible thing. Also, you better remember your Creator. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. People say, well, I'm going to wait to be saved when I get old and gray-headed. No, the Bible says, remember your Creator while you're young. And I'll tell you what, most people that are saved were saved when they were young. So, well, God can save a man at the 11th hour, yeah, but He doesn't save many of them at that hour. Most of them are saved when they're young. And very few are saved in later years. So no wonder the Lord said in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, this message would be incomplete if I did not add this next thing, and that is that if you expect to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to have a childlike disposition. And I think that children may understand that better than adults. That's what point I was just making there. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 18. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall not humble himself as one of these little children, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you've got to be as humble, you have to be as condescending as a little child if you enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible also talks about some sons of Belial. And it says distinctly of them almost every time they're mentioned. that knew not the Lord. Listen to me this morning. Don't be a son or a daughter of Belial that grows up and never has any saving knowledge of the Lord. And so remember, the command of the Lord is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I would ask you, young boy or young girl, have you remembered your Creator? Or have you been so busy with your youth you forgot all about Him? He can get your attention. He has many ways at His disposal. It might be best that you come to your senses early instead of late. So may the Lord help you if you're here this morning and know not Christ, that you might trust Him and repent of your sins and be gloriously saved. Let us stand as we sing.